What prompted Eurex to expand its crypto derivative suite with the FTSE Ethereum Index futures and options?
The decision to expand our crypto derivatives offering to include the FTSE Ethereum futures and options is driven by several key factors. So, firstly, we have observed a significant increase in institutional interest in Ethereum. So, Ethereum is the second largest cryptocurrency by market cap. It represents about 15% of the total crypto market cap currently. And Ethereum has a unique value proposition, especially with smart contracts, broad adoption in DeFi, decentralized finance, and has positioned it as a critical asset for portfolio allocation. So, moreover, the launch of these products align with our ambition to provide institutional investors with diversified and regulated instruments to manage their exposure to digital assets. So, by introducing the Ethereum-based derivatives, we are responding to the growing demand from our clients for products that go beyond Bitcoin derivatives, which we introduced back in April 2023. These investors are looking for efficient ways to hedge their positions, gain exposure to price movements, and manage the volatility associated with cryptocurrencies within a secure and regulated framework. So, additionally, the partnership with FTSE Russell to offer these indices further enhances the robustness of our offering. FTSE Russell's established reputation in providing reliable and transparent market indices ensures that the underlying benchmark for these products are of the highest standard, which is crucial for institutional-grade products. So, in summary, the expansion into Ethereum derivatives is a natural evolution of our crypto product suite, driven by demand, market maturity, and our commitment to providing innovative and secure investment opportunities in this rapidly evolving digital asset space.
So, Kristen, what criteria and vetting methodologies were used to select the underlying digital assets and exchanges for the FTSE Ethereum Index?
So in 2019, we created a framework to vet both the exchanges and the assets in the digital asset space. So the idea behind vetting these venues is because we had a problem we had to solve. These assets aren't primarily listed on a single exchange. They're OTC, they trade in various different venues. But we knew our institutional clients were going to need to trade these on centralized exchanges. So those are exchanges like Coinbase and Kraken and Gemini that have good KYC policies, market surveillance. They look and feel much like an equity exchange. So we knew we wanted to get executed trade data from these types of platforms. So we set up a framework that's flexible because, again, this is a space that's new. Things are changing. We expect to see M&A activity in the exchange space. New exchanges are coming on board all the time. So we wanted to have criteria that anyone could participate in if they met the published criteria. So today we've got eight participating exchanges that we take their executed trade data, and every 15 seconds we VWAP that together to create a price. That foundational price is what we use when we do our hourly fixes, and that's what Eurex is using when they roll their futures contracts as the settlement price. So we do a lot of work around exchanges, but then we also take it a step further and vet the assets themselves. This number changes all the time, but I hear 7,000 to 10,000 digital assets are being produced a day. That's a lot to be looking after. So again, there's no primary listing venue, so you can't go to a single source and capture what new tokens have been created. What we do with our partner Digital Asset Research is we're looking at variables like how many of these centralized exchanges are these assets listed on, market cap, and liquidity. And we evaluate the universe of digital assets every quarter. Right now, we've got 400 assets in our universe. And then we go through and we add some additional criteria to figure out which assets are robust enough to be appropriate to go into an index that's offered in the EU, so they're EU BMR compliant. The extra criteria that we look at are things like developer activity scores. So we want to follow protocols that have a robust community around the protocol that are updating the code base, or if there's a bug, it gets reported and people are working on it. The other thing that's really interesting about digital assets in general is the protocols may have been built for a certain purpose, and then another community could come in and say, hey, this is great code. It's doing the thing that I want to do. And kind of these protocols can shift purposes into being used more for smart contracts rather than just the fastest transaction venue. It kind of all depends. But we're evaluating that on a quarterly basis too. And the two assets that Eurex has licensed from us to date are Bitcoin and Ethereum. And of course, they're top notch. They're the largest digital assets out there and the most widely used. And they are, of course, passing all of our criteria and always have.
Can you talk a little bit about what some of the criteria are that you used?
Yeah, so on the asset vetting side, it was those developer activity scores. That's a big push. We're also looking at the protocol's consensus mechanism and ensuring that a certain percentage of the community needs to actually validate the transactions so that we know that what is happening on the blockchain is truth. We want to make sure that the protocols are secure and they're not being hacked. We're also looking at traditional metrics like you would see in equity world, where what is the trading volume of an asset? How big is the asset? So we're looking at market cap values. Those are just to name a few. And then on the exchange side, the things that we're looking at when we evaluate the exchanges are good KYC and AML policies, market surveillance. We want to have the right to audit if we notice suspicious activity of the exchange. So we've got those contracts in place where we can go and do that. So these exchanges are really behaving like a traditional exchange, like the London Stock Exchange or the New York Stock Exchange. So we feel like we can trust that the data that they're reporting hasn't been manipulated. The goal here is to find a price for these assets that represents real economic buyer and seller activity.
Is there a particular structure that these exchanges need to be set up in, or are there particular venues that you prefer?
A couple other criteria that are very important to us is that there's an identifiable C-suite who is actually running the exchange. So we know who those corporate officers are. So we want to know the identity of them. We also find it very important that the exchanges are registered in the geographic location where they're operating and doing business. So they need to have those licenses so that they're playing by the rules where they're doing business. So that's a big criteria for us.
How does FTSE Russell ensure the accuracy and reliability of the data used in the FTSE Ethereum Index?
After we've vetted the exchanges and, of course, the asset itself, we are monitoring the 15-second tick that comes into our systems to make sure we're not seeing any anomalies. I think we all know that digital assets are a volatile asset class, but you can still build models and parameters around any data set, especially when you've been observing it for over 5 years. You start to notice the patterns and what's reasonable. So we are monitoring the data in that way. And if there's anything that looks unusual, we're right on it. We also look at the assets in forums at least once a month, where we meet together with our governance and compliance teams to ensure that the data set is doing what we expect it to do. We look at filtering metrics and behaviors of trends and behaviors of the data set over time.
Raphael, how does offering these products on a regulated exchange like Eurex benefit institutional clients compared to trading on the unregulated platforms?
Offering Ethereum derivatives on a regulated exchange like Eurex provides institutional and professional clients with a range of significant advantages, which is tailored to their needs for security, transparency, and operational efficiency. So first and foremost, regulatory oversight ensures that all trading activities on Eurex are conducted within a robust legal framework. Our exchange operates within a well-defined legal framework And that ensures that all transactions are conducted in a secure and transparent manner. This regulatory environment provides clients with the confidence that their trading activities are fully compliant with the local and international standards, which is crucial for maintaining the integrity of their operations. And that leads me to my second point, market integrity is another key benefit of trading on Eurex. Our sophisticated market surveillance systems, combined with the participation of reputable and experienced market players, contribute to a stable and reliable trading environment on our exchange. This ensures that our clients can execute orders with the precision and efficiency they are used in other asset classes. So additionally, Eurex provides a comprehensive risk management framework, including daily market-to-market settlements, margin requirements, well-established clearinghouse, Eurex Clearing, all of which are there to mitigate counterparty risk and ensure that trades are settled smoothly. This level of security and operational efficiency is critical for institutional clients managing capital, making Eurex the platform of choice. But finally, the cash-settled nature of our contracts, along with our global recognition, ensures that investors can confidently engage with the Ethereum market in a regulated setting that emphasizes transparency and reliability without having to handle, for example, the physical cryptocurrency itself or its settlement or its custody. So in summary, Eurex regulated environment commitment to market integrity and comprehensive risk management framework make it an ideal platform for clients seeking to engage with the cryptocurrency derivatives market. And I believe this feature sets Eurex apart as a trusted partner in the evolving world of digital assets.
What's the risk as we get more defined regulations for cryptocurrencies and more exchanges get registered and follow those regulations, you know, to Eurex, you know, have, you know, and the advantage that they have, you know, as a regulated exchange?
That is really a great development for the markets, and that will provide investors with more choice of venues where to execute. I mean, on our traditional markets, we have a multitude of exchanges operating in different markets, and investors have that choice. So here, if that is the case on the crypto market, that shows that there is institutional investors' appetite for this market, and hence all these markets start to establish within the regulated framework. So that is another sign of positive development of the market, which today is still, let's say, it's called a niche market, even though it has grown over the past 10 years, it's still quite small compared to the other asset classes, and it has a big room for growth here.
Good answer to my curveball question. All right, Kristen, what feedback have you received from institutional investors regarding the FTSE Ethereum Index, and how has it influenced the product launch?
So the feedback's been positive. I think, again, that vetting methodology really gives comfort to our clients that there's another set of eyes looking at where is this data coming from. I think it's a tough question when you're thinking about these assets. What is the price of an asset that trades 24/7? It really depends on what pairs you're using to pull into that aggregated price and what venues you're using. But what I've been lesson learned, or something that I was very surprised about after 5 years working with this asset class, is the thing that influences the price the most is probably the model that you use to create that fix, rather than exactly what pairs to use, meaning USD, pound, yen, euro, or using stable pairs. And then the other thing that I think really matters is beyond the pairs, it is like knowing that you've got executed, real executed trade data. And again, we ensure that by vetting these exchanges. I think what has been really interesting for us is we knew this was going to be a long journey, and we were going to start with a small number of assets that people would embrace early days, and then move out the kind of the investment horizon into doing things like baskets of digital assets. A lot of times when I talk to people, they get that we're covering Bitcoin and Ethereum, but they're very surprised to hear that we're covering 400 assets today and growing. So I think that will be the next step, is taking a basket of assets, pulling them together, moving past these single asset products. I think there's still a bit of education that needs to happen around the protocols. A question I get again often is, why do I need more than one cryptocurrency? Isn't Bitcoin enough? But once you start to understand that Ethereum is really built to be a smart contract platform, and the protocol's use case is very different than the Bitcoin's protocol's use case, you start to realize, like, wow, sky's the limit. This isn't just general ledger technology. This kind of software can do so many different things. And I think people will be really creative with this space. And there's going to be new categories that we don't even know about today that will come in the future. And just also thinking about that kind of, how does this inform our product landscape question? There's other things that are happening very quickly in this space. And that would be things like rewards that people earn for staking their assets. And how do you incorporate that in with perhaps even just an Ethereum price return and adding those rewards in as well? People are thinking about momentum in the digital asset space. So you might be an investor that's not particularly interested in digital, but you love momentum and you'll go grab that anywhere you can. This is a really interesting asset class to complement momentum that you might be getting from an equity strategy or a commodity strategy. Then I think the other thing that is so great about what Eurex has put together with these options products is all of the option strategies that you can build on top of this. So covered call, put right, anything like that, I think will be a high in demand in the next couple years, especially if interest rates do come down. This is a great place where people can find some yield in their portfolios.
So you talked about the software and what it can do. Do you have a favorite smart contract in terms of what Ethereum can do?
I don't know. We're trying to decide when the SEC will decide on something, and we can say if it's before November, then, you know, we owe each other $5. So you can just, you know, have a smart contract of, like, I don't want to say betting, but that could be something you could do with it. But I'm going to give you one that's off. Well, I just love this use case, but it's not on Ethereum. It's on the Avalanche protocol, and the California DMV has moved all of their titles onto Avalanche. And why they were able to do that, I'm from California originally, and everyone talks about their pink slips, and that's the title was actually a pink piece of paper, and everybody loses them, right? You put it in your glove compartment and then you throw it out when you're cleaning out your car, and then you want to go sell your car. You have to go back to the DMV, get yourself a new title so that you can do that. And it takes a lot of time and energy for everybody to say who actually owns that car, but they've put all of that onto blockchain. And so now it's a centralized, immutable ledger of who actually has record of owning a car. Now, when someone walks into the DMV, they're not going to know the interface they're working with is Avalanche. There's just an app that you download, and that's how you interact with the interface now. So I think a lot of this technology will be running behind the scenes, more so than you know exactly how this is running on what software system.
Decentralized exchanges, I think they're a great example of a good use case of the Ethereum smart contract, for example, Uniswap, right? But also, I think here, I agree with you, smart contracts or the blockchain will eventually evolve to just run on the background, just in the same way as the internet runs and nobody really cares about the technology that's running. They just access it for a specific use, to find information, to conduct transactions, but they won't necessarily know which blockchain or which smart contract is running the service they are using.
Interesting. All right. Raphael, how does Eurex plan to support institutional investors entering the crypto derivatives market for the first time?
We're fully committed to supporting investors who are entering the crypto derivatives market for the first time. And we acknowledge the learning curve can be steep. We already hosted some events, and we are working on hosting some further events in collaboration with firms that are already active in this asset class, including FTSE Russell. These events are designed to introduce the institutional investors to the unique aspects of trading crypto derivatives on a regulated exchange like Eurex. So furthermore, our trading infrastructure is specifically designed to cater to the needs of the institutional investors. We offer an advanced trading system, comprehensive data feeds, seamless integration with existing vendor platforms, which are critical for institutions looking to enter the crypto market without disrupting their existing operations. The availability of these tools ensure that institutions can approach the crypto derivatives trading with the same confidence and precision as they would with more traditional asset classes. So you can use the same software, the same front office, back office softwares that you use to trade other asset classes, now to trade crypto derivatives as well, without having to connect anywhere else. And additionally, our client service team is always there available to provide personalized support and guidance, ensuring that any questions, concern, if clients want to understand a bit more about the products they're trading, and we ensure that that's addressed promptly. So our ongoing client engagement and partnership with industry leaders help ensure that the institutional investors are well equipped to navigate this emerging cryptocurrency market. So in conclusion, our approach to support institutional investors is multifaceted. We focus on providing the necessary infrastructure, education, client support to ensure that the institutions can enter the crypto derivatives market with the confidence and the clarity that they require.
And then lastly here, Kristen, how does the launch of the FTSE Ethereum Index Futures and Options align with FTSE Russell's broader strategy in the digital asset space?
We always knew that we'd start with a few single asset indices like Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then after market adoption and the community got very comfortable with these protocols, we definitely see a need for moving into a space where we have baskets of digital assets. So you may have a top 10 or a top 20 baskets. You get exposure to an array of different assets. Another thing I just wanted to add on to what Rafa was saying before, for both FTSE and Eurex, we're traditional companies with well-established businesses. And I think the decision to start working with digital assets was more about reputational risk than being nervous about the asset class itself. We know if we start something, we're in it forever. This isn't something we're like, oh, we're both going to just try and see how it goes with digital because it's a hot topic right now. I think both firms have strong conviction that this asset class is here to stay, and we wanted to ensure our clients could have access to it from a trusted partner that wasn't going to abandon ship when, things maybe change. Things are going to change. Things will be different in the future. But I think both firms are committed to sticking with the asset class and growing with it. And we'll just keep raising the bar as the asset class matures.
Are there any plans to develop additional indices or products based on other cryptocurrencies or digital assets in the near future? I mean, are we going to have a Trump.fun coin? Come on, let's, an index for that.
I'll take this one. So we've got 400 assets in our universe today. And like one of the ones that are some of the assets that people ask us about are a lot of these meme assets, right? Like Dogecoin and Pepe and WIF. We do cover them. It's really easy for us from a data perspective. Of course, we want to cover everything. Now, is that appropriate to go in a basket that institutional investors are using? Maybe, maybe not. But we do have the data for it. So I think it's always interesting just to track these assets. And some of them are, their market cap is 3 to 7 billion. You know, they kind of come and go quick. From a data provider perspective, we're constantly refreshing that 400 asset list. It's not a set it and forget it, because these assets do get launched and can take off quite quickly. An example of one that we just entered our universe 9 months ago was Arbitrum. It's another smart contract platform, and it moved its way up in our rankings to being a tier one asset quite quickly. It's going to be changing and growing. And yes, you're going to see tons of different ways to pull these assets together and offer different really bespoke exposures. We've already got sectors running. As I mentioned before, we're working on yield or the staking rewards type of indices. Another thing I think would be very interesting are fundamentals around that developer activity score. So that data is all on GitHub, and you could use it to perhaps score an asset higher if they've got a more robust developer community. There's network effects. There's so many things that are going on. The data sets in this space are amazing.
Any final thoughts, either one of you?
Yeah, I just I'll also pick on this last question, actually. From our side, we said, we are committed to this space to develop the cryptocurrency derivatives markets here, and in discussion with our partners, we are always looking to identify where next, what's the next product here. Today, we have Bitcoin, we have Ethereum, which covers roughly 70% of the market capitalization of this market. But our view is that this will eventually develop in the same way as the equities market, where you might have some volatility indices, you might have some factors, you might have some indices, total returns, and so on. So there's a lot that could be done here in this space. We are still at the very beginning. But primarily, we'll be driven by the market demand, and we'll continue to access that together with our partners.